بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. If we very carefully study our life, we will come to this conclusion that we have good times and bad times. It's not always that we are enjoying good moments. And neither is it the case that we are experiencing difficulties only. One day we are struck with grief, then the following day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us happiness. A moment of happiness followed by a moment of grief. Sometimes for weeks and for months we are suffering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the affliction, the calamity, the illness, the trouble, the agony. And for months and weeks we enjoy comfort, pleasure, contentment, peace. And this is the case with every human. Right from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam until today, and from now until the day of Qiyamah, every human that comes on this earth will experience both pain and comfort, difficulty and ease, health and illness, wealth and poverty. The reason for this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this earth and this worldly life with this quality. This is the quality of this world. This is the quality of this earthly life, that there has to be comfort after grief and there has to be grief after comfort. In total, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created three places: Jannat, Jahannam, and this world. The quality of Jannat is that there is no grief whatsoever, there is only comfort. And the quality of Jahannam is there is no comfort whatsoever, there is only grief. And the quality of this world is there is grief and comfort both. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us comfort and grief in this world as specimens, as models of the comfort and grief that is to come in the life hereafter. When we are struck with some kind of grief, pain in the heart, disturbance of the mind, something is bothering us, the condition of a child is bothering us, condition of parents is bothering us, our financial condition is bothering us, our health is bothering us, the environment around us is bothering us, someone who doesn't like us is bothering us, any condition that is bringing grief and pain into the heart, that is a specimen, a model of the grief that is going to come in the life hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing us for the life hereafter by sending this calamity so that we can reflect upon this calamity, this grief, this pain, and educate ourselves, motivate ourselves by saying to ourselves that, look, if you cannot bear this small pain, if you are unable to pain this small grief, If you cannot bear the weight of this small calamity, how will you bear the everlasting calamities in the fire of Jahannam? So therefore, prepare yourself so that you can safeguard yourself from the everlasting grief. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a taste of comfort, blessing, peace, enjoyment, again to motivate our mind, to encourage us and to educate us, so that we may reflect and think to ourselves that if I am enjoying this favor so much, that from morning till night I am happy, this blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me is giving me happiness for 1 month, for 2 months, for whole year I am happy. Sometimes after years, when you think about a particular moment, a particular gift, it makes me happy. So if this small ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world can give me so much happiness, then what about the ni'mats of Jannat? How much happiness will that give me? Therefore, I should make preparation for the life hereafter. So there is a hikmat behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating grief and comfort both in this world, so that by experiencing grief, we try our utmost to safeguard ourselves from the everlasting grief of Jahannam, and by experiencing comfort, we try our utmost in acquiring the everlasting comfort of Jannah. With this wisdom behind grief and comfort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a test for us in these two things. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has created death and life so that He can test you. ليبلوكم, so that He may test you. أيكم أحسن عملا, and find out who is the one who performs the best actions amongst you. So see, He has created life and death. What is life? Life is a source of comfort. Life is a blessing. Life is a means of happiness. Somebody is sick, at the brink of death, that person recovers. It brings happiness amongst the family. A child is born. This is life. New life come into this world. It brings happiness. And a very healthy person dies. It brings grief. Someone becomes sick, ultimately dies, it brings grief. And then somebody opens a shop and that shop becomes successful, that is the life of a shop. And then struck with bankruptcy, that is the death of the shop. Somebody acquires honor and izzat, that is the life of izzat. And then he is humiliated, that is the death of izzat. Somebody becomes wealthy, that is the life of wealth. And he becomes poor, that is the death of his wealth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have created life and death so that we may test you. And what is life and death? Life brings happiness, death brings grief. So in short, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created these two conditions, condition of grief and condition of happiness, to test us. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, so that He may test you. أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, that which one of you is the one who performs the best action. And how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala test? By giving these two things. By giving grief, He tests the servant, whether the servant is patient or not. And by giving happiness, He tests the servant, whether the servant is grateful or not. These are the two tests. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a favor. He wants to see whether we are thankful to Him or not, whether we are grateful to Him or not. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strikes us with calamity to see whether we are patient or not. These are the two tests. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi says that every calamity is not a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody comes to us and says that somebody got into my house and he went off with all the jewelry of my wife, we immediately take the negative thought and we say that this is punishment from Allah. There must be some haram wealth in his house, that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done this. We have no right whatsoever to to be suspicious about somebody's inner conditions, internal conditions, upon which we have no proof. So Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi says that if somebody is struck with calamity, then you will, if you study this person very carefully, you will see him in three conditions. Either he is complaining, why did this happen to me? Could Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not see anybody else? I am performing 5 times salat, why is this happening to me? I am giving a lot of charity, why is this happening to me? If he is complaining, that means this is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody is struck with a calamity, with a grief, and the effect of that grief is that he is complaining, then this is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is not complaining, he is being patient, and he is saying, oh Allah, safeguard me from calamities. But you have given me this calamity, and if that is what makes you happy, then I am happy as well. I will be patient. I am asking you to remove this condition. But if you keep this condition with me, if this condition prevails, then I am patient. I will bear it with patience. If this is the condition of that person, then that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving his sins through this calamity. And alhamdulillah, if you look at the condition of the Muslims, then normally whenever they are struck with calamity, in majority of the people you will find this condition. That they will say that we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this condition, make dua, but I am patient. I am patient. And then there is a higher condition. Allah strikes somebody with a calamity and he does not complain, he is not patient. He is grateful to Allah. Grateful on the calamity? No, what he says to Allah is that, oh Allah, somebody got into my house and he took all the wealth. I am being grateful to you that you have saved my life. He has taken the wealth. I am being grateful to you that he has saved my life. Oh Allah, you have sent the illness of TB upon me. I am grateful to you. There are so many people who are suffering in this world with cancer, which is worse than TB. I am grateful to you. You could have struck me with cancer, but you have only given me the illness of TB. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi says that if this is the condition of somebody, and this condition is very high people, those very nearer and dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi says that if this is the condition of a person, then this calamity is not a means of forgiveness of sins. This person is pure. Allah has sent this calamity to elevate his status in Jannah. This calamity is a means of elevation of status in Jannah. So, friends, what we learn from this is that the test of sabr, the test of being patient on a calamity or on a grief, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a mu'min should bear it with happiness. Then there is the other test, which is shukr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives something and he wants to see whether we are grateful or not. And what is the meaning of shukr? What is the meaning of being grateful? The meaning of being grateful has 3 points. There are 3 points, 3 parts to being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shukr has 3 parts. Part number one, think with the mind and the heart that this ni'mat has come to me only through the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was not deserving. I am not deserving of this ni'mat. I am sinful. I am not fully complying with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But still he has given me these favors. I don't deserve the eyes. I don't deserve the ears. I don't deserve the tongue. I am not worthy at all. It is only through his infinite mercy that he has given me these favors. With the mind and the heart. That this thought should never come. Ilm is a ni'mat. Ilm, knowledge, it is a ni'mat of Allah. This mind should never come that I have worked so hard for this favor that it is my effort that has brought this knowledge to me. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. If there was effort behind this ilm, then the person should think that who gave you the tawfiq to strive? Who gave you the intention to strive? There are so many people in the world who are more intelligent than you, but they did not tread this path. Allah did not give them the tawfiq. And who gave you the strength to strive? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ultimately, you will come to the conclusion that whatever I have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beauty I have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The intelligence I have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the wealth I have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Health, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we ponder very carefully about our conditions, then we will come to this conclusion that I cannot acquire anything. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, I can become poor tomorrow. If Allah wills, my beauty can fade tomorrow. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, then my health can go tomorrow. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, I have ilm today, tomorrow I can become an ignorant person. Today I am very intelligent, tomorrow I can be a madman. I can lose my brain. I can become mentally handicapped. There are so many people who become depressed and they become useless. So this is part one of shukr. One part. These three parts put together will bring the ibadat of shukr. Number one, with the heart and mind we should think that I am not deserving at all. It is only through the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I have been given this favor. Number two, we must declare that with the tongue and say, oh Allah, I am grateful to you. Oh Allah, I am grateful to you. Oh Allah, I am grateful to you. And I have mentioned this earlier, that whilst thinking with this point, with the mind and with the tongue, and accepting the same with the tongue, thinking with the mind and the heart, and accepting the same with the tongue, one should realize that I cannot praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He is worthy of praise, and I cannot be grateful to Allah as He is worthy of being grateful. I cannot. Because His favors are so many that I cannot be grateful to Him as I should be. And I mentioned the story of Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam prostrated in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He started shukr and he said, oh Allah, I am grateful to you. Allah, I am grateful to you for all the favors. And the words that he must have chosen, the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only Allah knows. When he finished his amal of shukr, he thought to himself that all the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given me, I performed the amal of shukr upon these favors. So this amal of shukr is also a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tawfiq of shukr that He has given me, that is also a favor of Allah. So he said, oh Allah, you gave me the tawfiq to do shukr upon all your favors. This tawfiq is also a favor. So I am being grateful to you for that favor. When he finished, he thought to himself that this tawfiq of doing shukr a second time upon the tawfiq of the shukr of first time is also a tawfiq of Allah. So he said, oh Allah, the tawfiq you gave me to do shukr a second time upon the tawfiq of the first time is also your ni'mat. I am being grateful to you. Then he thought to himself that the tawfiq to do shukr a third time upon the tawfiq of the second time is also a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he realized that this can carry on until the day of Qiyamah. So he prostrated before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, oh Allah, I cannot be grateful to you as you are worthy of my grateful. I cannot fulfill the obligation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam with this message that, oh Dawood, you have been thanking me and you are saying, I am grateful to you, I am grateful to you, I am grateful to you. Now that you have said that you cannot thank me as I am worthy of thanks, it is now that you have in reality thanked me for all the favors. So this is the second part, that we should thank Him, we should be grateful to Him with this tongue, with this in mind, that we cannot be grateful to Him as He is worthy of our gratefulness. And number three, we should utilize that wealth, we should utilize that health, we should utilize that ilm, we should utilize that intelligence, we should utilize the children, whatever Allah has given us, we should utilize that in His pleasure. We should not utilize the favor in His disobedience. Allah has given us the body, it is the grateful of Allah. We should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third part of being grateful is, gratefulness is, that we should utilize this body only in His obedience. The eyes will only see, that is permissible. The ears will only hear, that is permissible. The tongue will only speak, that is permissible. So on one side we have sabr, on the other side we have shukr. If we take stock of our lives, and if we from today supervise our lives, whenever we come across any calamity, we will be patient. And whenever we come across any ni'mat, favor, we will be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are able to do this, then inshallah we will enter Jannah very quickly. These are the two wheels of our motorbike to Jannah. Sabr and shukr. Sabr and shukr. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said very beautifully in hadith that every condition of a mu'min is khair. When he is sick, that is khair. When he is healthy, it is khair. When he is poor, it is khair. And when he is wealthy, he is khair. Every condition of a mu'min is nothing but goodness. Why? إِذَا مَسَّتْهُ سَرَّاءُ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. When some goodness reaches him, then he is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is goodness for him, because that shukra will take him into Jannah. وَإِذَا مَسَّتْهُ ضَرَّاءُ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And when any calamity reaches him, then he is patient, and that patient will take him in Jannah. Imam Ismail rahmatullahi alayhi was traveling once through a jungle, and he saw a couple talking amongst themselves. The wife was very beautiful, and the husband was not handsome at all. So the wife was telling the husband that I and you will definitely go in Jannah. So the husband said, how are you so sure? So she said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a beautiful wife like me. And I am seeing very carefully that you are always grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this favor. You are continually saying, oh Allah, I did not deserve a wife like this, who is so beautiful and also who has so many beautiful characters. Oh Allah, I am grateful to you. So your gratefulness, your shukra will take you in Jannah. And you are not handsome at all. And since I married you, I am totally patient. I have never complained. I have thought to myself that this is taqdeer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for me a husband like this, I am okay, I am happy. So my sabr will take me in Jannah. We will go through different channels, but we will ultimately reach Jannah. You will come through the door of shukr, I will come through the door of sabr. So inshallah, if we keep this in our minds, that this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ayyukum ahsanu amila. That he wants to see who is amongst you the best, with best actions, not with most actions. Allah does not want to see quantity. He wants to see quality. That is our amal with total sincerity? Is our amal in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Whatever amal we do, whatever, it may look very good to the public, but if our niyat and our intention is not correct, then that amal will not bring any reward in the hereafter. Or our intention is very correct. What we are doing is totally correct, our intention is correct, but the method is not the method of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not in accordance with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, this amal will not bring any reward in the hereafter. So to bring quality in a amal, you have to have two things. One is ikhlas, sincerity, and number two, that amal has to be in accordance with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any amal which is in accordance with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam but devoid of ikhlas will become a means of going into the fire of Jahannam on the day of Qiyamah. Because a amal which is devoid of ikhlas is amal with riya, from the major sins disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that makes the amal invalid. Performing salat exactly in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but inside the person is feeling very happy that everybody must be thinking that I am a very pious person. I am a very pious person. See, the amal is there in accordance with the way of Rasulullah, but ikhlas is not there. Allah will not accept. And on the contrary, ikhlas is there, but the amal is not in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, that amal will not take a person in Jannah. That amal will not bring any in the hereafter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu's time, a person was performing salat in Masjid Nabi after Asr. After Asr. And after Asr to perform Nafal salat is against the method of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu stopped that person. So he said to somebody that stop that person. He is performing salat after Asr. So when that person was stopped, he became very angry. And he said, what wrong am I doing by performing this salat? So the person said, you talk to Ali radiyallahu anhu. I am doing this under his instruction. So he came very angrily and he said, oh Ali, will salat take me in the fire of Jahannam? Nowadays when people do something which is not in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we say something to them, they say, we only doing something good. What's wrong with it? So this is the question. Oh Ali, Is my salat going to take me in the fire of Jahannam? Allah, very beautiful reply. He said, no, salat does not take anybody in Jahannam. Salat does not take anybody in Jahannam, but your performing salah in contradiction to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will definitely take you in Jahannam, because you have not chosen the right time. According to the method of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this time is not right. So you have ikhlas, you are very sincere, everything is okay, but your method is not correct. And if the method is not correct, then your amal will not be accepted. So liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to see quantity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to see quality. And he only rewards on quality. And how can quality come in an amal? Two things. Number one, ikhlas. And number two, that amal has to be in accordance with the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to acquire these beautiful qualities, the quality of sabr, the quality of shukr, the quality of ikhlas. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us safe from nafs and shaitan. And may he give us success in this world and the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.